Jonathan, is the is it back there? That's okay. I'll just preach from here. All right, Psalm 84, if you turn to Psalm 84. We've looked at three of the Psalms, where the Psalms talks about happy is the man, blessed is the man, extremely happy. Now, this happiness that I'm talking to you about from the Bible is not a happiness from without. See, the world can have that kind of happiness. Now, it doesn't last long, right? I mean, it just lasts as long as the thing that's happening that's making them happy lasts. But this blessedness, this happiness is something that happens from within. It's something within us. And so the scripture is saying this is how you can be happy. Now you can be happy even when you're burdened because of your position before Christ. You can be happy even when you're in trials. The Bible says that we can count it all joy even when we're in trials. You know, the thing about being a Christian that I have found to be two things that I found to be very difficult in my Christian walk, and perhaps you have. Maybe it's two different things for you. It might be more than two. Balance and focus. And I thought about that as we were praying this evening, how that these two things can really cause us to get out of kilter with what God wants us to do in the calling that he has placed upon our life. And so I want to challenge you to give that some thought in your personal life. Balance. So that's easy, preacher. Well, it's not for me. If it is for you, well then, okay. But balance. The Bible has a lot to say about balance. I want you to think about it some. I'm not going to preach on it tonight, but I want you to think about that this week. Ask God, God, am I balanced? Being balanced is very important. We don't want to go to one extreme or the other. We want to be balanced. We want to be angry, but sin not. Right? It's good to have a righteous indignation. We want to be humble, but at the same time, we want to have boldness and have some honor, right? I mean, you have to have that balance. It's important. It's very important. And then focus. I think they go together. If we can stay focused, I think it'll help us stay balanced. And if we can stay balanced, I think it'll help us to stay focused. And I'm just talking about walking in the Spirit, doing every day what God expects of me. And I want to do that. I want to do every day what God expects of me. I don't want to do what I want to do. Well, I do want to do what I want to do, but that's really not what I want to do. Did you get that? The flesh has an agenda. And if I don't stay balanced and if I don't stay focused, well, I'm just apt to follow the agenda of the flesh of what I want to do. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And I believe you do too. And I have found that a way that I can do that is stay balanced and focused. And the devil fights me in these areas. Now, you say, well, that doesn't even sound spiritual, preacher. I mean, what about prayer? Well, I want to stay balanced in prayer. See, I want to pray, but I want to read the Word too. I want to witness. I want to share my faith. I have to stay balanced. Just when I think, well, you know what, I'm in the Word and I'm getting some good spiritual food in the Word, and the Lord will remind me, I'm not praying as all. I said, well, I'm going to get to praying as all. And then, well, you know, you need to share your faith. Say, well, preacher, you can't do it all. You can if you're balanced and you stay focused. We can do all that God commands us to do, but we have to stay balanced and we have to stay focused. So I want to encourage you to give that some thought. It'll help you not to be like this, Okay? Up here, and then way down here, and then way up here, and then way down here. Now you just try to stay focused on what God has called you to do each day. And stay balanced. It's real easy to get off to one extreme or the other. It's real easy to do that. So usually, when emotion begins to take over, we'll find ourselves to an extreme. And I'm just talking to you from my heart. And you say, well, it won't happen to me. Well, it may. If you don't stay balanced. Don't let your emotion lead you. We're to be led of the Spirit, not emotion. Emotion can lead you to an extreme, but balance will keep you in check. It'll keep you following the Lord. It'll help you. It'll help me. It'll help us. In Psalm 84, there is a verse of Scripture. We're going to read the first 7 verses as we stand to our feet. We'll read the entire psalm. And I want to do that because of verse number 10. We'll read the entire psalm. We're talking about being happy. So, well, I'm not concerned about being happy. We ought to be. God's concerned about you being happy. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. See, we said in Psalm 32 that a man whose transgression is forgiven. When a man is in a right standing before God, he's happy. If you're not in a right standing before God, you're not happy. All right? Then we said in Psalm 34, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. When we trust in God now with all of our heart, it makes us happy. Amen. Makes us happy. And so I trust that you're trusting, not you, not the church, not anything else. Trust God. And then we looked in Psalm 1 about a man that lives by the word. Blessed is the man, right? Not the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly or standeth in the way of sinners or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, a man of the book, a lady of the Bible. You see, that's a blessed, that's a happy person, someone that's allowing the word of God to guide their life. So we've seen ways that the Bible says this is how we can be happy in life. You say, well, I've tried and it doesn't work. Well, God said it works, it works. You're not doing something right. And so maybe we need to reevaluate. So I want to ask you a question. Are you in communion with God? Are your transgressions covered? Your sins forgiven? If you are, well, you should be in a position to be happy. Number 2, are you trusting him? Are you trusting him with all of your heart? And see, you can be happy. And then do you live by the book? Does what the Bible say mean something? Not just to know what it says, but to practice what it says, see? And so the Scripture says this is the way you can be happy. But now, we're going to get now to something a little deeper. And so follow along with me. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, whose passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a great psalm. I want you to focus with me on verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You'll be very happy the day that you totally lean on the Lord and yield it all to him and realize that you cannot live the Christian life in the energy of your flesh. You cannot do it. And even as we live in this lowland of sorrow, we all grow weary. But here we have been told that there is a happiness, an extreme happiness that comes from gathering strength from the Lord. Where's your strength? I hope it's in the Lord. But as I said, it's easy to become unbalanced and lose our focus and perhaps think our strength's in someone or something outside of that. Let's pray. Father, help us in these few moments together to understand the importance of allowing your strength to be our strength. Thank you for the promises of your word that we can have your strength. I pray that we would truly see that without you, we can do nothing. We have no strength in ourselves to do your work. We rely upon the strength, the power, the energy of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help us tonight. There's some who are weary, others who are weak, burdened, hurting. And yet, God, I know that you want to minister to us, and I pray that you would minister your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This 84th Psalm is a psalm that talks about the blessed man. I think the key to the psalm is in verse number 5 that I ask you to look at with me. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Sometimes I think we forget that God doesn't need our help. Now, God wants our vessels. He wants our bodies so he can fill us and work through us. But if we're not careful, we'll think, well, now I've got to help God out. You know, I've got to do my part. I've got to get involved and do, you know, in my energy. It'll never happen. It can happen, but God will let you do it on your own if you insist. I'd rather do it in the power of the Holy Spirit than the power and energy of the flesh, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. Let's look at a few things that this psalmist is saying. First of all, I want you to notice the situation that this psalmist said that comes upon people so that we need God's strength. Notice what he said, if you would, in let's look at verse number 6. Who's passing through the valley of Baca. I looked this place up, looked the place up. The word means weeping or tears. It's a valley. It's a place where usually in the scripture when we think about valleys, we think about trials. We think about weakness. We think about hurt. We think about need. And here the psalmist is saying, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. What's this psalmist saying? He's saying that we need God's strength because life has valleys. Life has trials. Life has tears. That's what the word Baca means. It means tears, weeping, crying. When's the last time you've just cried? It's the last time you've had tears. You've wet your pillow with tears because of hurt in your life. So, well, preacher, I never cry. I think crying's good for us. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. It's good to cry over situations, over people, over needs. It's good to shed tears. And here the psalmist is saying that there are some situations in life, and there's two words that come to my mind when I read verse number 6. Number one, trials, and number two, tears. Trials I get from the word valley. Valley represents trials, low points, sorrow, hurt, disappointment. We face these things, brethren. So I thought you said you was going to talk about being happy. Well, you can be happy in spite of these things. But now you've got to know the secret. You've got to know who you get your strength from. See, these things drain us of our strength. Trials and hurt and disappointment, they drain us of our strength. They deplete our strength physically and emotionally and psychologically, sometimes even spiritually. And here the psalmist is saying, you're going to face these times, some more than others. Sometimes they're unexpected. Sometimes you see them coming. Sometimes you know they're just ahead. Sometimes you don't see them coming. But yet, whether we see them coming or we don't, we all face trials. We all face times of tears and weeping in our lives. There's low points. There's low times. And he said, during these times, you're going to need the strength of the Lord. Can I tell you that even not during these times, we need the strength of the Lord. But he said it's in these times that we fully realize just how much we need God. Forgot who said it many years ago. But they said that we'll see no new thing about God in prosperity. The new things that we learn about God are learned in adversity. I found that to be true in my life. I think about the disciples when they got on the ship, when Jesus told them, you know, get on the ship and let us go into the other side. I really believe they knew that they thought they knew a lot about Jesus. But that evening, they learned some things that they were astounded. When you look at how they were astounded at how Jesus spoke, peace be still. And it's almost like they said, wow. Even the winds and the waves obey his voice. We knew that he could give sight to the blind. And we knew that he had this ministry to human beings. But even nature itself, even the elements, obey him. They learned some things. But now don't think they were in the bed of ease when they learned those things. They were in jeopardy for their lives. They really thought, this is it, we're going to die. Why? Sorrow, hardship. But Jesus showed himself to them in a way that they had never seen it on that wise. And the Bible says that they wondered. They were exceedingly afraid. I think that in times of adversity, God will show us things about himself if we will allow him to, that we would otherwise not learn. What are you going through in your life? So, preacher, everything's good with me. Well, that's a good place to be in life, but you know we don't stay there, do we? We don't. I'm glad that there's mountaintops, but now there's valleys too. I'm glad there's the good times, but there's the not so good times too. But can I tell you that God's the God of all of them? Amen. God's the God of all of them. And so he says right here, he said in verse number 6, he said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. He said, you know, he said, there's just times when there's hardships. There's times when there's floods of sorrow. There's times when there's valleys. There's times when it seems like you're overwhelmed and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know which way you're going to turn. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. You don't know what's going to become of it. But you know one thing, God is faithful. And God has promised, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. And you can count on God. God will never let you down. God will never run out of strength. God will never run out, brethren. Never. He'll be there. You say, well, preacher, what about this? God will be there. What about this situation? God can conquer that situation. God can triumph. Aren't you glad that God has made us to triumph in Christ? Claim it. Claim it. We're more than conquerors. You think about that. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. So here he said, I want you to understand there's situations in life that get our attention. There's situations in life. Now listen, the psalmist knew some things. A lot of these psalms are psalms of sorrow. Hold your place here and turn to Psalm 6 and see if you've ever been where this psalmist was in Psalm, the sixth psalm. Turn back there. Now hold your place. We're going right back to Psalm 84. Now perhaps you're not here now to where you're hurting and you're in sorrow or you're in trial or there's just a time to where you're low in your life and you need God to show up and God to do something. And maybe you've even become discouraged and maybe the devil's even told you it's not going to change, nothing's going to be different. Now the devil tells me that. He tells you that too, doesn't he? God's not going to do it this time. Nothing's going to change. You're going to have to suffer. God's not going to come through. Well, the devil's a liar. In Psalm 6, look if you would. Look at verse number 6 of Psalm 6. The psalm said this, the psalmist said this, I am weary with my groaning. Have you ever been there? Maybe there's someone here tonight that's there. Preacher, I'm weary. I'm broken. And I need God to show Himself strong in my behalf. I need God to do something to let me know that He's still there. I think we all get there. We just need God to do something to remind us that He's still there. He still cares. Amen. You say, do you ever get that way, preacher? Sure I do. We all do. We may not like to talk about it. We may not want to dwell on it, but brethren, it's a fact of life. In this life, ye shall have tribulation. Now I'm glad Jesus said, but be of good cheer. You can be happy, even when you're in this place. And that's what I've been preaching to you about. Get your relationship right with God. Be a man and a woman of the book. Delight in the law of the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him with all of your heart. See, that's the way you get happiness. That's the way you get that true, deep, inward happiness from the Lord. He said here, let's continue to read verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Isn't that? Listen. Maybe it's because of a health situation. I don't know. As we turn back to Psalm 84, I don't know what you're going through entirely. I know that we all face troublesome times. I know that we all have weaknesses and needs. We're a needy people, brethren. That's why I thank God for the church. We come together. We should support one another. We should exhort one another. And at times we need to rebuke one another and reprove one another. We need these things. I'm thankful for the church, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But these situations in life, they have a way sometimes of making us feel overwhelmed. Doesn't make you a bad Christian. Doesn't make you a weak Christian. It makes you a human being that is going through the normal process of life. Now, it could be the correction of the Lord, and I'm not getting into that. I'm not here tonight to talk about why we go through what we go through, but God has a purpose in all of it. God has a purpose in all of it. And so it says here, there's situations in Psalm 84. He said there's those valleys, there's those hardships, there's those sorrows. Perhaps it's someone that you love and they've made the passing. And it's left a void in your life. I think everyone in here has gone through that in some measure or another. Perhaps it's something even in your own life that slowed you down. And it's beginning to wear on you. You prayed and you've wondered, why hasn't God done something? Maybe you've been praying for a loved one and you're deeply concerned. They're out in sin and they're away from God and you don't even know if they're saved, and it just really troubles your heart, and you just wonder, why hasn't God already done something? Will God do something? The Bible says here, there are those times. And God will give you strength. And God will give you hope. The psalm ends in verse number 12. Look at verse number 12 of Psalm 84. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Right? Yeah. In what? What are you trusting God for? Well, I think we ought to trust him for everything. But in this particular psalm, I think it goes back to verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You weak? God has strength for you. You discouraged? God has encouragement for you. You're hurting? God has healing for you. He does. God has what you need. And God has what I need. And I'm so thankful that he does. Situations. Now let's look at this strength just for a moment. Just have three simple things. Situations first. Let's look at strength. This is the second thing, okay? Let's look at the strength. What kind of strength are we talking about here? All right? Well, I want you to notice with me, when it's talking about that strength, notice if you would in verse number 7. Verse number 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. Who's they? Goes back to verse number 5. Look at it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. See, that man goes from strength to strength. Right? Amen. That man goes from strength to strength. Because he's trusting God. He's looking to God to give him strength. What strength is it? Well, look if you would in verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. It's God's strength. You can't get any stronger than that, brethren. It's God's strength. It's not the church's strength. It's not the preacher's strength or your strength. It's much greater than that. It's God's strength. God's strength. That means that no matter what we're facing, we can be conquerors. We can be overcomers. Because God can give us the strength that we need to get through and to get over what we're facing. I'm glad that God does that for me. I'm glad that God will do that for you. Is your strength in the Lord? Are you trusting in him? Are you asking him to give you strength? It's Deuteronomy. Write this verse down. Deuteronomy 33:25. The scripture says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Strength from God. Brethren, we're talking about the one, and I'm fascinated. I continue to bring it up because I stay fascinated. I'm reminded regularly how that God made the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. God flung the stars in the sky. That power is at my disposal. That strength can be my strength. Amen. He said here in verse number 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, dear Lord. Is your strength in the Lord? Are you trusting him to strengthen you? To give you the strength that you need to get through the valleys and the hardships and the sorrows that you face? Or are you trying to do it? Oftentimes we try to medicate ourselves, and I'm not opposed to taking some medications. That's not what I mean. I mean medicate ourselves as far as trying to make ourselves better. We try to make ourselves and our situations better without turning to God. We leave God out of it. Now, we wouldn't like to make that public, but if we would all check up, there's times in our lives that we think we have the answer. God, I'm going to take care of this one. I've got this one. Only to find out that our strength indeed is small. And it is depleted very quickly when we're up against some of the things that we face in life. Well, the Bible says right here that this strength is divine strength. It's the strength of the Lord. It gives us strength to carry on, brethren. You don't have to grow weary in well-doing. You can continue to march on. You can finish your course. Say, preacher, the world is wicked. I know that. Times are hard, getting harder. But we can still serve God with our life. We can still do right. Amen. But we have to get strength from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Verse number 7, they go from strength to strength. I'm going to ask you to turn to a few psalms. I could turn to many, but I've just written down a few here that I hope you will memorize, or I hope you will turn to often to know, I need to get my strength from the Lord. I need to get my strength from God. Quit thinking that I have what it takes to live the life that is pleasing to God. In myself, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. My flesh is weak. My flesh is sinful. My flesh will go away from God. But I need to follow what God has said. So, turn to the 38th Psalm, and let's see what the psalmist said about this thing about needing strength. What do we need strength for? What do we need strength for? I like what the psalmist said here in the 38th Psalm. Look at Psalm 38, verse number 10. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Psalm 38, verse 10. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My strength faileth. How often has that happened to us in life? My strength faileth. You ever been to a place where you just say, God, I can't go on, and God just does something supernatural? I mean, just absolutely, you just know God did that. God did that. Sometimes God waits for us to come to the end of ourselves before he gets involved. If we would just turn it over to God sooner, he would show up quicker. But as long as we're trying to do it in the energy of our own flesh, he'll let us row like he did the disciples. Toiling and rowing. Oh, how many Christians do you know that way? I've been toiling and rowing. I know how it wears you out. Toiling and rowing. And then the master steps on the scene and takes care of the situation, and you just know God did that. That was the Lord. So the psalmist said, my strength faileth. That's why we need the Lord's strength. Our strength can't get it done. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 29. Would you turn? That's just a few pages back, the 29th Psalm. Turn back to that one, if you would. Look at verse number 11. Psalm 29, verse number 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Do you believe that? I do. I've experienced it. Brethren, I want you to experience it. You say, well, I have, preacher. Let's experience it more frequently. Let's ask God daily. God, I want to live in your strength. I want to serve in your strength. I want to witness in your strength. I want to live in your strength. Not my strength, Lord, your strength. The Lord, Psalm 29, verse 11, will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 27. Maybe a more familiar psalm. Psalm 27, look at the first and the last verse, or the 14th verse. Look at the first verse, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Amen. You know, I'm convinced that the reason that more Christians don't share their faith is fear. I'm convinced of it. Not because they don't know that they should or even want to, but because of fear. Can I tell you that the psalmist said here, look at it again, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? God will give you strength to be that witness, to speak the gospel to others when there's fear in your heart. God will give you that strength. Look at verse number 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait I say on the Lord. You say, preacher, I've been needing strength for this, and I've been needing strength from God for this, and it doesn't seem to have happened. Well, you just keep waiting. God will give it to you. In time, God will give it to you. Amen. Now, brethren, I'm talking to you about something that's very real. Strength from God. Strength from God, and we need it to be effective. We need it to have the happiness that surpasses this shallow, outward happiness that the world has to offer. I'm talking about something on the inside. Something on the inside. A resolve. Turn to Psalm 18, and this will be the final one before we go back to Psalm 84 and close. Psalm 18. Look at verse 32. Psalm 18, verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The psalmist acknowledged, my strength is from God. God has girded me with strength. Can you say that? Do you ask God for strength? Do we rely on the Lord? God, I want to walk in your spirit today. I want to follow your leading. I'm acknowledging you. I want you to direct my paths, and I want you to direct my steps today. Everything I do, I want it to be from your guidance and your strength. That's what the psalmist is saying as we go back to close in Psalm 84. Now, say, preacher, all that sounds about right. I mean, it's from the scripture, right? But now, how does a person get there? How does a person get there to where we're relying on God's strength? Well, I think it's very clear when you read this psalm. Let's look at the way the psalm begins. How amiable, what a word, means beloved. Oh, how I love, look what he said. How I love thy tabernacles. Amen. Oh, Lord of hosts. Look what he said in verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. And then he says in the fourth verse, blessed are they that dwell in the house, the tabernacles, the courts, the house, your presence, your people, your word, all that takes place. I love God's house. I just love it. God put a love in my heart for the church when he saved me. And I pray that that fire that God has placed in my heart for his people and for his presence and for his word, I pray it never goes out. Oh, it's flickered. It's flickered, no doubt. But I pray that it never goes out and that I don't view it like, well, you know, I don't understand. What's this thing about, you know, church Sunday morning, church Sunday night, church Wednesday night, church in revival meeting, church, you know, church vacation Bible school. Hey, listen to me. You're looking at it wrong. We get to do this. We get to do it. If you're doing it the other way, you're doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in your own strength. You see, back when the church was on fire for God, they were doing it daily and from house to house. They had a love. Their love was, well, it says it right here in verse number 1, amiable. Oh, I just love to be in your tabernacle. I just love to be in your courts. Look what he said in verse number 2. My soul longeth, he said. Are you there? To where you just look forward. Wednesday is prayer meeting night. You're here. I'm not here because I'd be afraid of what you might think of me if I didn't come. I would be afraid of what you might think of me if I didn't come. But that's not the primary reason. I'm at church tonight. I'm here because I desire to be. Amen. I just love it. I just love it. The Lord willing, Jesus hasn't come, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I just love getting together with God's people in God's house. I just love it. Can you say verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 84? Do you love to be in God's presence, in God's house? Does your soul long Are you fainting for the courts of the Lord? Is your heart and your flesh crying out for the living God? See, we've lost something. We've lost something. And that's why there's not very many happy Christians. They're weak and they're frail and they're faint. Our strength has failed us. And I want to encourage you. Don't underestimate the ministry of God's word and God's people and God's presence in his house. And that's exactly what he's saying here. He's saying it's important. Look what he said in verse number 3, and this will be our final point, because I think it's a very important point that the psalmist would bring this up. Look what he said in verse number 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself. There's two birds mentioned here. Of the sparrow, he said this, he hath found an house, a place to live. Amen? A place to live. You know, it'd be easy for any one of us to get out of church. It can happen. Say, preacher, it can never happen to you. Sure it could. It could happen to you. I don't think there's a sin mentioned in the Bible that couldn't happen to any of us. I hope you keep your guard up. And God help me to keep mine up. But he said here, the sparrow has found an house. You say, well, I don't think that's talking about being in God's presence and being in God's house. Well, look at the context. I think that it is. I'm sure that it is. I want to be honest with the scripture. And the scripture's talking about longing for the courts of God and being in the tabernacles and being in God's house. And he said, just like the sparrow hath found the house, you find your place among the living. You find your place there, a place to settle down and live and get your soul fed and set up shop and do something. Then he said this, he said, not just the sparrow, he said, but the swallow, a nest for herself. But it's just not about her as a swallow. Look at what he said about the swallow. He said in verse number 3, where she may lay her young. Bring your children to church. Teach them that church is important. Because if you don't, the devil will teach them that it's not. And then you'll be scratching your head wondering, wonder why my kids quit God, quit the church. It's important, parents. It's important. Look what he said here. He said, even, or where she may lay her young, even thine altars. That's a great place to lay your children. You say, well, preacher, my children's gotten out of church. Well, that can happen. Don't take them off the altar. Pastor Brandon mentioned it earlier tonight. You keep calling their name out in prayer. Don't you ever give up on your children now, your grandchildren. I wish the children were in here. Some of them I would tell, don't ever give up on your parents. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on people. Lay them on the altar and say, God, I need your strength to keep strong faith that you're going to work in my behalf. So we have, first of all, the situation. Situations are that there's going to be valleys, there's going to be hardships. We face them. We do. But that doesn't mean we have to go around all drug out and woe is me. We can still have peace and happiness from God because we can draw from his strength. Amen. And then there's not only the situations, but there's the strength. It's God's strength. I thank God for people who have encouraged me through my life. I'm grateful for the people that God has put in the pathway of my life to encourage me. And I want to be an encouragement to people, and I believe you do. And God will give us opportunities to do that. But there's no strength like the Lord's strength. God's strength will see us through. And then finally, the sanctuary. Don't you place a nonchalant, relaxed, premium on the house of God. And obviously you don't. But don't let the devil tell you now it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And so don't be deceived by the devil. Let's all stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Are you happy?